welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today. And what we'd like to do this week is continue on with a message of the power of prevailing prayer. It is possible to have real, true power with God. And we were looking at the life of Jacob, the incident at Peniel where he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And this is in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. And at this point in the life of Jacob, it had been 20 years since Jacob had made his covenant at Bethel with the God of Abraham. God had been faithful to his promise. And he said, "With my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." This is verse 10. God promised to preserve Jacob, to be with him, to bring him again to this place at the Jordan again, as well as to bless him, to bless his seed, that they would be as numerous as the dust of the earth. But now let's read in verse 4. Well, no, let's go with 3. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Verse 7 says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands. And he said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me," see, he's reminding of the Lord what he told him, "return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He prays, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother Esau, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." So he's reminding the Lord of his promise. And what he does is he continues to send gifts to them. And he sent the present over, verse 21, before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And verse 24, this is what we want to see. He was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. In verse 9, that which I just shared with you, we have the first recorded prayer in the Bible, which is Jacob's prayer for deliverance. And it combines great earnestness with simplicity. He addresses God as the God of his fathers, yet also his personal God, who had personally commanded him to return to his birthplace. In chapter 31 and in verse 13, the Lord specifically said, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. And now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." So God spoke to him and said, "I want you to go back." Now, let's look at verses 13 through 23, we see that he developed this strategy, that he sent his wives, those who were closest to him, his children, over, but he wrestled a man with him, it says, verse 24, until the breaking of the day. And this verb that is used for wrestled, abak, A-B-A-K, occurs only here in the Bible, and with doubt was chosen because of its resemblance to the name of the ford, which is Jabbok. It probably is a derivation from a word signifying dust. It was the custom in ancient Greece for wrestlers to rub their bodies with it. He seems a man to Jacob, but Hosea calls him an angel. In Hosea, the 12th chapter, verse 4, the word says, he took his brother, referring to Jacob, by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord of hosts, the Lord, is his memorial. Now, beloved, this is an extremely interesting, yet perhaps difficult to understand portion of Scripture. Here we see man, Jacob, wrestling with God. And what we see is Jacob is resisting. As we saw in Hosea, that verse I just read, he was involved in agonizing prayer. It was a matter of life and death. He knew the promises of God, that God didn't lie, that he would be faithful to his promises. Yet, like us, and I know I'm speaking to some out there, and I can certainly relate myself, Jacob, throughout his life, depended upon his own resources rather than the Lord. And isn't that the picture that we're is a part of our culture here in America? It's something that is highly esteemed as far as the world is concerned, or even Christian circles, to be strong, to make it happen, to do what is necessary for success. And we tend to be self-reliant. And in fact, the whole pioneer spirit of America was based on self-reliance, overcoming nearly impossible challenges. That's the American way. And yet, we as God's people need to change that self-reliance. Oh, that doesn't mean we stop doing what we can do, but to understand our real trust, our strength, our hope, our solutions to problems, our way of escape, all depends on the Lord. And so basically, Jacob is struggling against, he's resisting God. And here we see the natural man fighting against the divine will. Our self-will, in the pride of our heart, refuses to bow submissively to the divine will. God wants us to yield to him rather than to depend upon self-effort and carnal wisdom. We all have that Jacob nature, if you will, which always strives to supplant the will of God by its own. And we, it's very normal. We have a survival instinct. In fact, we can look, if we want to be able to relate, we can relate to the very Son of God, to Jesus, as he agonized in the garden. He did not want to go through with the Father's will. He shrunk from the pain, the ridicule, the shame of it. He, even though he understood throughout his life this was what he was born to do, but when it came right down to the wire, he prayed. He said, Father, all things are possible with you. Isn't there other some way this can be accomplished? Yet he said, nonetheless, yet not my will, but thy will be done. And so Jesus is our example. The Jacob nature always strives to supplant the will of God by its own. And thank God that the Lord persists to wrestle with us until daybreak, if necessary. He knows that our only hope of success as his servants lies in our entire submission to him. Beloved, that is so important, so critical. Now, let's go back to the Word and read verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the Lord, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this is the Lord, angel of the Lord, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. How's that for persistence? Verse 25 says, when he saw that he prevailed not, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And verse 32 says, and this is the New American Standard, therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of his hip. And this is probably the large tendon, which takes its origin from the spinal cord and extends down the thigh to the ankle. By the Greeks, it was named tendo Achilles because it reaches the heel. And in verse 32, which in the King James says, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. This is by nature a footnote, verse 32. This dietary abstention was a custom, not a law, and is mentioned nowhere else in the Old Testament. It's basically the sciatic nerve. So traditionally, the Jews avoided the hind quarter, and Jacob, and of course, paid a price because as a result of that, he is crippled. Well, my time has just flown away, and we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. This is really an exciting passage of Scripture, and an amazing, I mean, nowhere else in the Word do we see anything quite as dramatic as this, that a man can wrestle with God and live. So I hope you can join me tomorrow as we continue on, and in a moment, the announcer is going to give our contact information, and I do hope if you are struggling in prayer, there is a principle also in God's Word that talks about the power of agreeing prayer, and it would be my delight and my heart's desire to stand with you. You might not have anyone else you can share with. No, your letters are confidential. Thank you for joining me. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,